In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Christ is among us. As we heard in today's gospel passage, it was a Sabbath day, and our Lord, as was his custom, was to enter the synagogues in the various towns that he was that you would find him, and he'd be teaching. And in this case, we hear about him seeing a woman who was bent over, unable to look up. And for 18 years, she had suffered this kind of infirmity. So the Lord sees her, and he says to her, "Woman, you are free from your infirmity." And at that very moment, this woman was healed. And her response was one of glorifying God. Such is the gospel passage that the church gives to you and me as we are preparing to celebrate the Nativity. It's just 2.5 weeks away, and so on this Sunday, we're hearing this particular gospel. Unlike our de-Christianized culture, our society, which is already in a not necessarily Christmas spirit, as much as a holiday festive spirit, we Christians, we Melkite Catholics, along with our Orthodox brethren and other Eastern Catholics, we're doing something different. We're keeping a fast. And the church is asking you and me to pray more at this time and to become more aware of our brothers and sisters who are in need, almsgiving, charity. And also, as is our custom as Eastern Christians, we have 4 periods of fasting, and during each of these periods of fasting, every member is asked to make a good confession to a priest. All of this is a preparation to hear again in a new way that great Christmas proclamation when the heavens were filled with the angels and they proclaimed to all the world, but to those shepherds in particular, "Today in Bethlehem is born a Savior." This is what we're preparing to hear in a new way this coming Christmas. Every year, the church reads that gospel passage, and every year, our hearts hear it again in a new way. It's not an old message. Nothing of God is ever old. It's always new. Yet are we ready to receive it? We have to prepare ourselves to receive this proclamation from on high. Today's gospel passage reminds us that Christ did not come into this world to lay more burdens upon us, to lay down more laws, which would in one way or another cause greater disability. Our Lord came. He took to himself, united to himself in his divinity, a human nature. Why? In order to heal human nature. Every spiritual and physical ailment in one way or another is debilitating you and me, debilitates every single human being. Every kind of spiritual or physical deformity or disability cripples our relationship with God, our relationship with our neighbor, our relationship with creation, and our relationship even with ourselves. So today's gospel passage is pointing out to us, reminding us why God became man. Now tomorrow, the church celebrates the birth or the conception of the Theotokos to Saints Anna and Joachim. Here we have two old people, an old couple, who also knew a physical debilitation, who also knew a terrible disappointment. They never could have a child. And here they are now in their old years, beyond childbearing years. And yet something happened to them that was similar to today's gospel passage. They were faithful in their prayer. They never ceased to pray to God for some kind of blessing. Just as this Jewish woman went into that synagogue and she was ceaselessly praying in the synagogue. And what did God do? He blessed Joachim and Anne. And Anna conceived the Theotokos. And thank goodness, because tomorrow's conception is a foreshadowing already of what's going to happen with our Lord and God Savior Jesus Christ, who is coming to be the true liberator for us in every way in our life. He's the true liberator for every single spiritual, physical, emotional, psychological debilitation we may experience in our lives. And that's the teaching in today's gospel passage. The God-man liberates a daughter of Abraham. You and I, too, are children of Abraham. And it was on the Sabbath day. And what is all this about? Because a human person, you and I, were not created for slavery, to a wretched existence, destined for pain and disease and travail and despair. No, that God created a human person for blessing, for joy, for health. This is why God came into the world. And the good news of Christmas is that the Savior is born. He came into this world to set you and me free, to free us from the captivity, above all, to corruption and death, to free us from every kind of physical and spiritual and emotional weakness in our bodies, in our souls, and in our world. Our world is full of pain, suffering, division. So the Lord comes in this world to offer you and me freedom, to be freed as the children of God are meant to be. Our Savior came on Christmas night to deliver us all from a slavery to a bondage. Also, this is also important, saving us from a bondage of treating each and every person less than an icon of Christ. So not only does the Lord come to free us so that we can live truly human, full lives, but also that we may not in any way mistreat each other to somehow disfigure the icon of Christ that each and every one, every human being is called to be. And for such a tremendous event, Christmas, how then are we ready to receive Him? How are we ready to receive the proclamation from the angels on high? What is this all about? How should our lives look? One holy monk told me some time ago that at the end of the day, only one thing really matters in the life, in our lives: to live selfless love and to be merciful. To live out selfless love and be merciful to each and every person you meet. That is the godly way. And if you heard today's epistle, well, we did all hear, but if you recall it, it's saying the same thing. The Apostle Paul teaches, put on a heart of kindness, a heart of mercy, a heart of meekness, a heart of patience. Bear with one another and forgive one another. Even as the Lord has forgiven you, you forgive each other. And the Apostle Paul then says, but most importantly and above all, have charity. That is the bond of perfection. Humility, meekness, patience, bearing with each other, forgiving each other any grievance, forgiving all, and showing each other selfless love. Those are the virtues of the God-man himself. They are godly virtues. They're the virtues that you and I are called to live. So as the church gives to you and me this divine invitation on these short, 12 days or so remaining of in preparation for Christmas, we're called to cultivate that in our lives. And how does the church invite us to cultivate them? Begin practicing the Nativity Fast, which begins on December 10th for us, this Tuesday, the Nativity Fast. Second, greater prayer at this time, spending more time in prayer. Just as We are reminded by our tradition, never do greater fasting without greater prayer. They always accompany each other. So try to make it to a Wednesday night divine service. Try to make it to Great Vespers on a Saturday evening. Try to come a little earlier on Sunday mornings to Orthros. Pick something, but really try to give yourself a little bit more to the Lord, prayer of the church. Do not let the business of the season, as they call it, distract you and me from the temple. Because business of the world does one thing. It weighs us down, and we no longer are looking up at heaven, looking down at earth. And be generous. Be generous with the needy. When you open your heart to those who are in need and can't pay you back, then you're living out selfless love and mercy. And as I mentioned earlier, now's the time to make a good confession. Because when we are making a good confession, once again, you're learning to look up at God again. For every sin in some way or some fashion is looking down on the earth and you're bent over again. I'll conclude with these words from a holy man, St. Porphyrios. Quote, if you give your heart to him, there'll be no room for other things. When you put on Christ, you'll not need any effort to attain virtue. Christ will give it to you. If you're engulfed in fear and discouragement, then look up to Christ. Love him humbly and simply without demand. And then you'll know the power of the freedom from on high. Christ is among us.